just take a few more looks at some of the scripture. We are looking at, again, we've been in this series for a while, talking about the kingdom of God and how important it is, and how we have to see it as the hope. If that's not our future, then we're going to lose sight of what the reality is of what we do every day. And it's just really something to think about. And it's the very message that Yeshua spoke of most of his ministry. I mean, we can't, I can tell you, we could say 100% of his ministry, he was making reference at least toward the kingdom. But most of his messages were directly linked to the kingdom message. Yet, we find in the church world today, and this is around the world, that it's lost. There's not a lot of people talking about it. Because the majority of the talk right now is what we can do to make this a better place. Well, we can't do anything. It's got to be restored, and only God can come and restore that, right? So we have to think about that. So just some thoughts, just to give you some thoughts about where we are. How many watch the news? Who's ever watched the news? So you watch the news, you might get little details of things. Well, most of that is just kind of giving you whatever you makes people think they know stuff. In reality, they're not telling you anything. Now, in the news might be some things, if you're careful and you're able to discern and you ask the Lord to help you, you might see some little things, because the trick of the enemy is to do things in plain sight. So when it's revealed, just to make you realize how dumb you are. That's what he wants you to think. Well, I mean, you know, when you follow Christ, he'll figure out quick that you're not dumb at all. That you've submitted to the word of the Lord and you have the mind of Christ. So you won't see what on the news, what's current, what's really, really happening around the world. Some people say, well, I don't even care what's happening around the world. Well, we kind of need to, because we're in it. And we're not going anywhere. We kind of need to know what's going on around the world. Well, the news is the worst place to get that information, because it's all lies. It really is. They're only telling you, they kind of spoon-feeding everybody, kind of, and think that everybody's done dumbed down and you don't need to know what's going on. Well, let me just give you a couple updated things of some of the realities of what's happening. We have the largest Christian church in the world is the Roman Catholic Church. There is none larger. And if you add the numbers of Protestants in there, it's the largest church in the world. Largest. Second would be the Muslim religion. And then all the rest of them will come into play. But then none of them even come close to those two. Large numbers. Actual members, what they would consider members of those large churches, it would take up 2.5 billion people. Not even say million, billion people. That's part of those two large groups. For the first time in history, we have a Jesuit pope. Okay? Never happened before. Now, if you don't understand the Jesuit training, I'd encourage you to go and read some stuff on the Jesuits and how they trained and what they were put in place for. Okay? The pope just before Pope Francis that we have now resigned. How many seen that on the news? He resigned. He didn't die. Usually they got to die, right? Well, nobody has ever resigned, all right? So why would he resign? Because we have to have the 112th pope, which is Pope Francis. He's the 112th that fits the prophetic utterances of the 112th pope will be the final pope. Now, so says he's in good condition. He can go another 20 years or so, all right? He's not going to go 30. So think about life in that time frame. What would you do different? If he's the final pope. Now, he's the only pope, by the way, who brought Protestants, Muslims, and Jews, and Hindus, because that's the third largest, together for prayer. The only time it ever happened. I know this is not on CNN. I know this is not on Fox News. But we get overly consumed with these stations and think they're telling us something. They're not telling you anything. They're just spoon-feeding you enough to make you go lullaby at night so you sleep and you get up in the morning and you want to see how bad the weatherman can be. And we just keep doing that cycle. That's kind of how we do it. But if you really want to find out what's going on, you got to do some research and you'll figure out that we live in a time that we have to really think about what we do. Everything we do counts. So I've been doing this study, revealing the kingdom of God. Why? Because you need to know about the kingdom, because it's going to come in two facets. It's going to come one that's going to be a fake, and it's going to come one that's going to be real. And how are you going to know? Because the fake is not going to be like in your face fake. It's going to be almost exactly right. And only those who study the scripture and really are sensitive to be led by the Spirit will know the difference. And it'll come into place. And when it comes, it's going to be very terrible. It's going to be a very difficult time. Well, it cannot come into place unless the one horn, one of the horns, bring it into place, which is the false prophet. Remember, he's seen two horns. One's the false prophet, and the other one's the Antichrist. And so so this coming into play is going to come by some false prophet. So when you hear the word prophet, you're thinking, well, it's going to be somebody associated with church or churches. And they're going to be prophetic words that they speak that's going to come to pass. Well, that's all happening right now. Right now, those events are happening. Lots of them have happened, or those events are planned to happen. And so that's going to be very, very important for us to think about these things as time goes on. When you hear this, when you're going through Bible study and you're going through it, I want you to think on those terms. It's being brought to your attention based on that information. That is, we're living in a time where people need to know the truth, because the truth is the only thing that's going to make you free. And you'll be able to think this through with your own mind. You say, well, I don't need to go hang out with them or that, be with that person or that person. That's fine. We can do things together. But what you're going to really need is a personal information. That's why we have in Bible study. So you know it for yourself. That way, if one person goes down, you can still remain true to the things of God. So in the end, at that time, we have to understand these principles. They're valuable. Now, this is nothing for people to be afraid of. Nobody should be afraid of the end. You live life. You know what? Is it right now? Obviously, it's not. We're still here. And we're going to go to bed, get up tomorrow, and we're going to go at it just like we've been doing. The Scripture never teaches us to change. He said, work until I come. So be busy, be active, continue to be a father, continue to be a husband, continue to be a friend, a brother, a sister, a mother, a daughter. Continue to be all those things. He says, do all those things. But just know when you see this, that's when it'll be. So that's what the Bible study is for, is to tell you this is what you're going to have to do to prepare yourself. So what I would like to do tonight in talking about this portion of being committed is you got to commit yourself to what you want to learn. If you commit to what you want to learn, you can be taught about just about anything. And so you can learn the scripture. You can learn to know these times, to be able to understand these times. So I left off with this, talking about this total commitment to God. I left off with the Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 portion. What I was building was this case for us understanding who God is and what he possesses. There's nothing that he doesn't know, doesn't possess. And so hopefully you'll understand that. I'm going to read the Isaiah account again. That's where I left off. And then I'm going to continue through this. We'll see how much we can get through. And so get your paper and pen out. And write these down. If you don't, just type them in your phone. You can go back later. How many has a smartphone? You can go to Bible Gateway. It's a free app. Bible Hub. It's a free app. Blue Letter Bible. It's a free app. You can get all these on your phone. It's got tons of information. You type this in your phone. Later on, you just highlight it. Hit it with your finger. Copy and paste thing comes up. You go insert it in the Bible Gateway. It's going to pull that up, and you can read everything I read tonight right on your phone. It's a good way to take notes. If you don't have a paper and pen, you can do that and go back and look at it for yourself. Remember, I'm here to deliver to you some thoughts. I'm here to get your mind thinking. So I'm going to give you these thoughts on what the Scripture says, but you go and check it out for yourself. You don't have to believe a thing I say, but you should check it out. The Scripture talks about the Bereans. Be a good Berean. A Berean was those who listened to Paul in the book of Acts. They listened to him. They sat down, was peaceful listeners. They listened to Paul, and they checked out daily what the Scripture said. So whatever the Scripture said every day, daily, they went into the text, and they found out to see what Paul said. Was it true or was it not? So, again, let's do just that. Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 9 says this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we're not talking about equals here. Now, you should never see yourself as that. And it's okay. It's okay. If you're trying to see yourself as equal to the one who made us or made everything, we're going to have problems, right? Because you can always think, well, hey, what about me? Think of God, Yahweh, which is the name of God. Think of that. What is God? God is what? That's his title. It's like a doctor. Remember I gave you this example on the doctor. You know, I might be talking about Dr. Griffin. So, but if I say, I don't ever say that. When he comes, I say, hey, Doc, that's not his name, right? His name's not Doc. His doctor is a title. So the same way I want you to know the name of God, Yahweh, all right? Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. It's what you find in the original manuscripts. And for a long time, nobody fooled with it. They just put Lord, or they'll put God. And then those frames, because they wasn't sure what to do with it. But thank God for the technology and most of our scribes and our students of the Scripture and those scholars. We've learned these things over a period of time to be so. So, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your ways. So we have to take that in consideration. It's comforting. We'll take that, especially if we're in trouble. That's comforting words. But you got to remember, no matter what in life, it still remains the same. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not equal. Yet he wants to communicate with me. Not to take from me. What can God take from me? Who in here can give God something and all of a sudden it's going to make God bigger, better? Think about that. Yet He wants our praise, our worship. And the reason he wants it, because he says, just think about who I am and give me the worship that comes to that one who designed it all. Amen? So I want you to think about that as you go through your different studies and so forth. Now, if we have the mind of Messiah, we can hope to understand Elohim's ways and thoughts somewhat better. If we have the mind of Messiah, we can hope to understand Elohim's ways and thoughts somewhat better. But I think we can never, not now anyway, achieve a complete understanding of them. And that's because for now, we see through a glass darkly. So we're not getting the full picture. But one day, face to face. Remember what you talked about? It's different. Now, Moses had a face-to-face. So you think maybe He understood some things about it. Well, of course, the anointing was so strong on him that the power and authority and the anointing that was on him was given to 70 others because of that face-to-face. So it's not that we can't have that those encounters, but we can't know everything about God, and we got to be settled on that. It's okay, because that's how incredible and amazing he is. And of course, Moses' encounter, he had to put a veil over him because the people couldn't even look at him because his face glowed, changed him, the glory. What was he after? Show me your glory, your glory. And the glory, again, it comes in different waves almost. Sometimes it's small, and then it comes in a big wave. And it's, how many know that the bigger the wave, the bigger the effect is? Right? How many's ever seen these funny things they'll put sometime where they'll have somebody standing on the beach and they'll be posing for a picture or taking a picture and they're not watching, but everybody else in the background, you hear them, watch out, watch out, because they see the big wave coming, but the one with the camera, you know, and all of a sudden, and it washes them off the cliff or whatever. Because they didn't see it coming. When it comes, the glory comes in waves. And when it comes bigger than you're ready for, it's very difficult to try to put your mind around God. But the mind of Christ, that's why he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Well, if we let that be in us, then we're going to be able to communicate with the Most High the way Christ did. If we don't, we won't be able to communicate. No matter how, we can say, well, I'm close to God. Well, you can, you know, you can say how close you are, whatever, but you can't communicate without that kind of mind, because what happens is your mind gets blown because you can't understand. So what people do, get frustrated, but nobody can understand it. But there is a relationship factor. It's spending time with God, communicating with him on a daily, that gets better and better and better. And you've seen it in your own walk with God. Now, the book of Job, which I didn't read on Sunday, but I definitely, there's a great one before I go into something else. Job 42, verse 1 and through 3. Then Job answered Yahweh. This is an ongoing communication. Job, everybody knows Job. He'd been through some stuff. He went through some difficult things. He lost everything. And so Job answered Yahweh and said, now watch what he says. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholded from thee or you. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. So basically, he's saying, I should have just kept my mouth shut, because I was talking out of turn when I think about who he is. And how many's ever had that happen to you? Man, I've had it happen to me. Okay, so I just need to not say anything, because the moment you say, well, why, God? Why I got to go through this? Or why? That's who can even ask God why? He knows. You may not like what you go through in life, but he said, you're not going through it so I can hurt you. Remember what Jeremiah says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. It's not to hurt us, is it? Sometimes we don't understand that. And you've been here, all of you here, you've been through some difficult times, some different situations in your life, maybe battling health issues, or you're having troubles in relationships or family or your children or sickness, whatever, or death, even a tragedy. You've battled all those things. It's not that God's trying to hurt us. And we may not understand the answer to all the things that happen to a lot of people. You know, it's very difficult to understand why innocent children get abused. That's not easy to understand. And you say, and people are frustrated with God about that. Well, if God is good and God is love, why does he let little girls get raped? Why does he let these people get murdered? It's like God's... How many have a witness where God was doing these things? We live in a world of people. It's full of people with their own mind. How many of you made your own mind up to be here tonight? Remember that. We have our own mind. And it's us that decide through life. We can be assisted or we can do it on our own. So this Job account I thought was very important. Just thinking about who God is. Remember, we covered the context. So number two, all things belong to God. We got to remember that. How many things belong to God? All things. Romans 11, 35 through 36. We'll take on that. We'll see how far we can get through some of these. He says in verse 35, "Oh, who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Think about that. Now, this is a very, very powerful passage in Romans here. Remember, for him, through him, to him are all things. So that covers it all. There's nothing that exists or is no. Today, just today, I was listening to one of the guys that he does some Israeli news and so forth. You have to look at him. He's online only, so he don't have no fully funded news network. You know, these networks that tell you what you want to hear. So, but he was saying that most scientists are coming out and saying that there's got to be some design. There's a designer. They're figuring it out now, finally. That nothing just happened by chance. And when you think about it, you think about all the stuff that you do every day, and maybe you've had these moments where you see something and you go, "Wow, this is amazing." And you think about it, there has to be some. Who thought about this? Who thought how to? You ever seen a little baby? You ever held a little baby? And you go, "Well, you know, who thought about put everything the way it is?" How many like little babies? You know, you just want to kiss on them and hold them, and you go look at them and go, "What? There's got to be design, right? That don't just kind of just happens. Who designed it? How did it all work?" But we're finding that out. And this is what he says: for him, through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. So thinking about that, these two verses tell us that Elohim is the source of all things. God, Elohim, God is the source of all things, and all things belong to him. All things belong to him. Now, in heaven, the cry goes up to Elohim continuously, because there's created beings, he created, then they say, "Holy, holy, holy, holy," forever. It just continuously goes up. They're created for that. That ought to give us kind of a peek in to who he is, and it goes on continuously, that cry, "Holy, holy, holy, holy." Think about that. Now, we try to do our best to worship the Lord, right? Sometime we'll go to church and we get to songs, we'll sing a song, and we're going to do our... But in heaven, if you want to know what's going on in heaven, they're constantly, constantly singing, "Holy, holy, 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 holy." And we want to praise him best we can. How many try throughout the day to give credit to the Lord? Different things that happen, you just say, "God, thank you. Yeah. You're so amazing." You ought to keep that up, because that's the part that's the different. That's a level that we have to continue to recognize. Don't try to bring God down some different path. You have to keep him there, because let me tell you, you want the one who's in control of everything to be in control of the illness. How many of you know when somebody gets sick, you praying that you, I want you in control of this illness. But we shouldn't be trying to build God up at that point. He should have been built up in our praise and worship the whole entire time. So when you call upon him, you're calling on the absolute greatest. So practice that. When you're going out through life, when you get up in the morning, say, you know, you got to get out of your bed. You're going to, because you realize you came from a state of sleep that you didn't know what was going on. The guy out down the road could have been taking the tires off your truck and you wouldn't have knew nothing about it. Because you were in a state of sleep. You had no idea that was going on. They could have been on your boat taking a motor off. You would have never knew it. You were sleeping. But you wake up and you go, thank you, Lord. Because I also could have died in that state of sleep because a lot of people did. And I want to thank you for today. See, you said elevate. Elevate him from the very moment of the morning. Start elevating God. So you get up, you're getting ready, right? And all of a sudden you start feeling good, right? Because you woke up, you were still sleepy. You want to hit the snooze button, but boy, you jumped up. And all of a sudden, man, I'm good. Thank him right there. Lord, I thank you for this energy. Appreciate it. And I'm thanking that I'm not hurt, not limping. I want to appreciate that. So you keep going throughout the day. So listen, I know we fishermen, and we good. We think we good. And you get on them. That's what we call it. You get on them, right? Every cast. Don't take that credit. Say, Lord, I thank you. For giving me the mind, because without my mind thinking about the tide and the wind and the water and all that, if you wouldn't, if my mind, I could be crazy. I could be in a crazy house. But my mind, I thank you for it, because with all of that came together, I wound up in this spot. And I want to thank you for that. See, what are you doing? Elevating him the whole time. You elevate Yahweh, give him the praise and the glory. So when you're on your way in, the box is full. Thank you, Lord, for a great day. If it wouldn't have been for you, there's no way I could have done that. Yeah. Elevating. Elevating. And when you get home and your family's there, thank you for my family. Elevating throughout the day. Because I want you to know, in heaven, he's constantly being praised. Yeah. And the more you praise him, the more he'll show up for you. Yeah. He'll do it consistently. Because he wants to give you the tools you need to be the light and the salt. He wants to give you the tools you need. How many wants to? Don't you know that Jesus said what he said? He said, you are the light of the world. So how can I be that light? Sometimes I feel like, how can I be a light to the world when I can't even guide my own self? And that's what we think about all the time. And don't, listen, what you do? Let him give you the ability to be the light that he said you are. And the way you do that is to constantly lift him up. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says, thou art worthy, O Yahweh, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. What a verse. Thou art worthy, O Yahweh, to receive glory and honor and power. Thank you, Lord. Now, in the days of Nehemiah, the people of Israel prayed. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5 through 6, and we've been talking about the Levites and the separation from them in our Torah portions, looking at that. But it says here, Yeshua, and this would be just not our Yeshua, our Yah. That's why, how many know the spellings are important? And if you notice in some of the slides, I've been putting Yah in there instead of yes. Yeshua, Y-E-S, because there's no J sound in the Hebrew language. Yet we see it throughout the spellings. King James Bible uses it a lot. But in the original text, there's no J. It's the Y sound. So it would be, throughout the time, people's trying to figure out, and again, this is Bible study, so I'm able to talk about some of these things during our Bible study. I want you to go back and look at this stuff. They've started, well, maybe it was Yeshua. But if he says, my name will be in his name, that's what Yahweh says, Yahshua. Or Yahshua. So think about that And so when I come across this, this is Yeshua. So it's not Yahshua. You see? That would help when a person's studying to know that that's something different. So here we have a list of people, their names, Gadmiel, Benai, Hashbaniah, Shishrabiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, all these Levites said, this is what they say, stand up and do what? Bless Yahweh your Elohim. Bless Yahweh. Now, if I tell you, bless Yahweh your Elohim, and I'm talking to a general assembly of both believers and non-believers, okay? If I say, bless Yahweh your Elohim, those who are believers would understand exactly what they're supposed to do, and the non-believers would know exactly what I'm talking about and who's being praised. But if I say, stand up in a general assembly of believers and bless the Lord your God, how would you know? Let me say that again. So we have a general assembly. We have believers and non-believers. And you're there and you get a chance to speak to them. And they stand up and say, bless Yahweh your Elohim. Everybody in the building knows who's going to be blessed. Who's going to be blessed? Yahweh, and he's going to be your, if we go down to English, your God. Yahweh, your God. Elohim is again, God. But everybody knows. But if I say, everybody stand up and bless the Lord your God, then that's exactly what they'll do. The non-believers will bless their God, and the believers will bless their God. You see how words matter? But the scripture says bless Yahweh, not the others. Yahweh. That's the value. That's a great value. So you can have the same person preach the same message, and not everybody's going to be cut to the heart to do what you requested them, because it's said in general. And that's what I believe has happened over the years. There's been a real attack with words. And the enemy knew it. And that's been a very destructive thing for people studying. And the reason I believe we wind up in such a Gnostic society of universalism. And we live in a very, very heavily population of universalism. And there's different titles that they use that seems to be more Christian, but it's nothing but a universalism. Listen, if Pope Francis is bringing in Jewish rabbis, Hindu priests, bringing in Muslim clerics, and Protestant, evangelical, big-name pastors all together, and says, look, we all need to get together and just be one church, that's universalism, which the scripture says, be careful. Because what does universalism teach? We can all be together, but you can pray to your God, I can pray to my God, and everybody can pray to their own God, and everybody's will be okay. We're just going to get along. Well, that seems to know what? After you live in a world that's fighting each other all the time, that's not a bad deal. We do need to get along. That's great. Why don't we do it? But the simple fact is, you all getting along doesn't mean that you're committed to the Most High. We have to be committed to Him. Now, what you need to do is take some... This is the question I get asked. If you want to know what pastors get asked, let me just tell you some of the questions I get asked. Well, how do you know who's right? How do you know? How come the Hindus... I've been in the Hindu countries. I've been literally attacked by a Hindu priest to cast a spell on me while I was speaking. He come there with the smoke and all, and he was throwing it towards me and trying to put demon on me. But they'll do that. These gurus, the gurus. And they come right to you and go, whoo, a bit of gold cross on there. And you don't even pay no mind. You just turn your back and keep shopping. Because the moment you pay mind and you give your attention to that, then they feel like they got it over. You don't even pay no mind. They walk, eventually they walk off. Because there's an authority in the true God that's different than any authority. But listen, don't take my word for it. You take some time and go check it out for yourself. Go back and study the history of where all these different gods came from and how they got brought into existence. Go study it. Go find out. You know what you're going to find? If you do it right, you're going to find out the same thing I found out. But in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. And he did everything he did, designed everything. And after that, because man's heart grew weary from being separated from God, and they went on and done their own thing, and all these different ideas popped up, and different gods, and different taking on these different ideas, and then paganism grew, and it grew rapidly. And it, men became lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And they didn't. There was no worship to God anymore. No giving glory to God. Honoring Him. Honor Yahweh, your Elohim. And it's been so rampant, you can grow up in church just about all your life and you didn't even know He had a name. You talk about a delusion. You understand my point? So we got some work to do here. Because He said in the last days there's going to be a strong delusion. So if a strong delusion comes, you and I better be ready. So we're prepared. So take some time. So He says, stand up and bless Yahweh your Elohim forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. So this is, again, some spots for you to think, parts to think about. Verse 6. Thou, even thou, art Yahweh alone, and thou hast made heaven, the heavens of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Wow. So this is, again, bringing that recognition and understanding those values. In the book of Psalms, chapter 148, verse number 5, says this, let them praise the name of Yahweh. Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for He commandeth, and they were created. Isn't that something? Now, you won't find that with any other gods. You go back and study a Vishnu, a Brahma, that's all Hindu stuff. You go study all that. Go to the Quran, read that. You'll find that the Muslim, the Quran, you can go and study it. The Muslim religion was started by a pedophile, a guy who would imprison 7-year-old girls to have sex with them. Now, how would you want to follow that? And it's no wonder that all of their followers treat women the way they treat them. Because you got that same spirit. But nobody wants to go and study. Go study the guy who come up with the Quran and started the Muslim church. Go study it and find out for yourself. Imprison 7-year-olds, 9-year-olds, and making them and having sex with 7-year-olds and 9-year-old girls. And he starts this church and he got 1 billion followers. You think we got a problem in the world? Yeah, we got more problems than some of the little things that we focus on every day. They got real issues happening, and a billion people following them to the point that they believe it so much that if you call yourself a Christian, they'd do nothing better to make them feel better than just to take your head off. Because it's a different spirit. You think about that. Show me one thing you can find ever where Yahweh is going to be a pedophile and have sex with a 7-year-old girl. You understand? A big difference. Big difference. And he did it all in the name of Allah. Mm-hmm. Allah told him to do it. Well, I can tell you, you're not going to find that in the Holy Scripture where Yahweh told you to go do that. Because it's contrary to His rules and regulations. And He would call you what you needed to be called. And and you would be punished according to which how punishment you need, because he was completely 100% against that type of behavior. And listen, we all have brains in here. Everybody with their right mind knows that that's absolutely crazy to think that that's right. What kind of reciprocating love can a man get by forcing himself on a 7-year-old? That's crazy. It's nothing but abuse, horrible abuse. It's absolutely crazy if we don't call it that. But we all see, everybody don't want to be, I don't say nothing. You don't want to offend nobody. It's crazy. It's wrong. It's wrong. I don't find that in the scripture where God acts that way. He doesn't endorse that type of behavior. Yet we find it all the time. You know, he doesn't say, bring me your children and sacrifice them to me because I'm going to feel better. I'm your God and I'll give you rain and your crops will grow better. You don't find him saying that. You know what he says? Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. He loves the children, cares for the children. And he says if anyone causes a child to stumble, he said it'd be better than a millstone be tied about your neck and you cast into the sea. He cares for the children. You understand? Big difference. Now, who do you want to serve? The God that so says, rape the children, or the one who says, love them, protect them, watch over them, do everything you can to keep them? It's a big difference. And so, see, sometimes, even in Bible study, I get passionate about all the craziness that's out there, and I can't help it but say it, because that's real life. That's every day for somebody. I think about that all the time. For somebody, for some 7-year-old girl, it's real life every day for her. And I pray, God, give us a chance, give us an opportunity that we can stop that nonsense. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do everything I can while I'm breathing, but one day, the Bible says that Yeshua HaMashiach is going to ride in on a white horse, and he's going to put a stop to all of it. And I hope to one day that I can live my life the best of my ability, I'm going to be on his side, that team. That's the team I want to be on. Because right now you feel powerless. Because if you could, there ain't a man in here that wouldn't stop that nonsense. You'd snatch him up and beat the living daylights out of him. You know you would, and you'd be right to do it. Especially if it'd be yours. Right? But you know what? One day, if we keep our hearts right with God, we're going to join that army of believers who are standing up for truth and equality and fairness and do what's right. That's what the scripture teaches. And that's why the world's against it. You ever notice? There's a big outrage against people who will say the truth. Because you're being insensitive. It's all, people want hugs and teddy bears and cry towels and all that stuff in our society today. And I'm going to tell you, it's only setting us up for a big failure. But we read the text and we see how many wonderful things he does for us. It's incredible. In Psalms 102, verse 25, it says, Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shall thou change them, and they shall be changed. Verse 27, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Isn't that amazing? Psalms 100, this is one of my favorites. This is one of the ones that I had to learn. I was telling Trayon the other day, he's 13. So they come and they got a cake and all that. And we're in the living room and we're going to sing him happy birthday. So I said, you're 13 now. I said, how many scriptures you know by heart? Mm-hmm. Think about that. Yeah. 13. How many do you know by heart? So he said, John 3:16. I said, give it to me. So he did it. Boy, he did a good job. So give me another one. So I made it. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. By the time you're 14, I want you to know 10. Can you do that? Yep. So I'm going to remember when he's 14, I want to stand him up. And I'm going to reward him for it.
That's it.
Give me 10 verses. Well, let me tell you, we used to do something when we were kids growing up. I can tell you, when I was 13, I knew a lot of verses by heart. And let me tell you, you know how many know when you're growing up, you get to do what you want or whatever? We got to do what we wanted too, but you got to do this, and this first. Clean your room. Make your bed. That was clockwork. You slept in it. Make it. So our room, our stuff. And so I got to where my stuff had to be. If I walked in my room, I can see that my car was turned the wrong way. And I would say, who was in my room? Because I didn't put that car that way. It was right there. I knew it. And I knew that. But one of the things that made my mom most proud of my dad has been many a times when they came to tuck us in at night, we was already on our knees praying, saying, God, you know, and then we'd go to the Psalms, and we knew the Psalms. These were some of the verses. And one I'm going to read was some that I learned when I was just a little boy. Just little. So I remember one time at Vacation Bible School, we went to the Vacation Bible School at the Baptist Church right in Venice. I remember the Baptist Church in Venice. And so they had like we do. So we went, and I was a little bitty kid. And I'm sitting there on the front, and we're getting involved with all the games and all that. They said, okay, we want anybody who wants to preach tomorrow. Something had to come over me because I was shy. Yeah. I mean, my hand went up like that, and I went, what in the world? Slapped that hand. Well, anyway, I was ready and prepped, right? So I went home and got my verse, John 3:16. I knew that one. I knew it good. So anyway, that's what I preached on. I was a little bit, I remember that. I got up there and I preached. What I did is I wanted to copy what I seen people do. For God so loved the world. And I was only this high. But anyway, my point that I'm making right now is get in the Bible. Teach your children. Let them, give them a challenge. I'm challenging them because it's going to be good for them. They don't need to just know passwords to video games. They don't need to just know all those things. That's, hey, you want to let them do that? That's your babies. I'm just telling you, you got to say, hey, this week, give me five verses. Five verses. So I gave him one, the heads up. I said, look, in John, they got one called Jesus Wept. And that's the whole verse. So I told him that. I said, you can remember that one, huh? So Psalms 100, this is one that I always would go to. Make a joyful noise unto Yahweh. All ye land, serve Yahweh with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that Yahweh, he is Elohim. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for Yahweh is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generation. I remember, I knew that scripture backwards and forwards. It's just one of the verses you learn. Now, one of the things they would challenge this is how many chapters you could read. And you see if you'd read the chapters. And it was all on the honor system. You read, I count your chapters. And it would be a competition. And they would mark how many chapters got read by this class. How many chapters got read by this class. Well, if you're going to read chapters, where are you going? You're going to the Book of Psalms. Because they're short. Yes. Short chapters. You could read, you know, you're definitely not going to Isaiah. And the one chapter you ain't never reading in Psalm is 119. Because it's the longest chapter in the Bible. I ain't reading that one. I can get 20 chapters before I read that one. That's how we do. You know, you're thinking like, yeah, I don't know when. So it was good because we read. We read and we got out. How many chapters you read? That's what things we got to ask. Did you turn the computer off? Yeah, we didn't have no computer. That's what kids get asked that today. You turn the computer off? We got, how many chapters you've read? You think maybe, just maybe, you can wake up one morning and you're living in a different time? We better think about this. Isaiah 44, verse 24. It says, "Thus says Yahweh, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am Yahweh that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone." Notice that, alone. "That spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." If we didn't get alone, what it means when you're alone? See, and so if you don't get alone, he says, by myself. So remember that. He did all that by himself. Isn't that amazing? So these are just verses of scripture that just, man, they encourage you. Isaiah 42, verse 5 says, "Thus says El, Yahweh, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spreadeth forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein." So breath and spirit, again, these are common words. So what did he do? He took the dust and he formed man. So remember, we just got finished doing a teaching on one of the Thursday nights. I did a teaching on the nature of man. Remember that? The nature of man. Because if you know who you are, you're going to better understand who God is. So man is but dust. He said, remember, you are what? Dust. So we got, man is dust. And you, if you take dust, it's formed, it's not animated, just there, and you breathe the Ruach HaKodesh. That's the Hebrew form of it. It would be the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. He breathed into the nostrils of what he had formed, and man animated. But then he names that, became a human being or a soul. A soul. So what happens when you take the Ruach out? It's called death. Does it animate? Does it speak? Does it think? Doesn't know anything. That's what the scripture says. At death, you don't know nothing. And do what? You return to the dust from which you were taken. Is that the end? Well, if that's the end, we pack our Bibles up, go outside, build a fire, throw them all in it, and go do whatever you want to do and enjoy life. Because we of all men most to be pitied, because this is all a bunch of a bull. But if there's a resurrection, if there's a resurrection, what is he going to resurrect? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Isn't that amazing? So the dead, right now, who know nothing, will rise first. Because they are dead and they're back in the state without the breath of God. No breath, no animation, no mind, no voice, no sight, no hearing, nothing. The scripture says, "And the dead know nothing at all." That's what it says. Now, in our mind, We can get better at making them still able to think, see, hear, so we can kind of keep that communication going. That's why death is so important to understand. It says, do everything you're going to do now, because when death comes, you can't do anything. So you're done. Can't say anything, can't call nobody, can't say, "Oh Lord, help me," it's over. That's why he talks about a resurrection. So Christ did what? He died. When he died for real. He had no thought, no life. But he said, "Lord, remember me and give me what we had." What did he have with God? He had a perfect relationship. "Give it back to me." He said, "Don't worry about it. I got you." And what happened? In 3 days. Not half days. Whole days. 3 days and 3 nights. he raised him up. Corinthians says Christ was the first fruit. And then when do we get our turn? Those who die at his coming. When he comes, the dead raise first. So every person you ever known, you loved and cared about, they're not going to stay. He's going to raise them up. And what happens to the live people? You will be changed. What are you going to be changed to? What's the dead going to be changed? Are they going to come back and just be who they were? They're going to come back better. You're not going to go through death with God, your Elohim, and come back the same. You're going to come back better. Do you understand that? So death is a punishment. It really is, because it's because of sin. Because Christ redeemed us from the curse. When he brings you back, this is how good God is. He's not going to bring you back and give you the same. He's going to bring you, he said, this mortal shall take on immortality. Can you imagine that? Listen, we got people who are hurting. They don't want to live forever hurting. When you come back, there'll be no more sickness, no more pain, no more death, no more tears. And that you'll be designed to live with God forever, just like Adam was. Adam was designed to live with God forever without any hurts, pains, and a perfect body. Perfect physique, perfect hair, perfect eyes, perfect teeth. You understand? Perfect. We live today with so many imperfections. Anybody ever have some pain when you wake up? I don't, before I was wide open. Now I get up a little slower. And that ain't no joke, I just do. I get up and I kind of go, okay. And once it gets going, but you don't want to have anybody see that. But it's a little sore. You know, you're trying to stretching it out. You're trying to move, but it's different. You know, when you were 25, you didn't even feel that. It was probably there, but you didn't feel it. But when you hit 51, you move a little slower. It's amazing what that many years can do to you. You kind of feel it, right? And some of the other folks here, you're older than 51, you feel it. You know, I'm not like I used to be. Used to be able to do anything, grab anything, throw anything. But you feel it. And if you do try to do it, you feel it even worse. But then, there'll be none of that. No more aging, but you'll be like him. Think about that. Now, he's designing us to be immortal. Now, I know we watch these different comics, the Marvel comics, and all people say, man, that's crazy stuff, you know. But we're going to live in a world, and it's not going to be in heaven, like most people think. Why would he design an earth to just have all the trouble on it? Well, that's the place I'm going to put everybody to have all the trouble, and then eventually we'll just get rid of that and we'll all move to heaven. That's not what the text says. He said they're going to be a new heaven and a new earth. For the old stuff's going to go, but it's going to be brand new. And then John said, I looked up and I saw, coming from heaven, New Jerusalem coming down. It comes from above, down to the earth. And on that earth, the lion will lay with the lamb. No more fights, no more attacks, none of that. The child can play in the cobra's den. I know nobody said, I don't even want that, Lord. That's one of them things, God, you can keep. But you won't have those feelings, those anxieties and feelings and fears. None of that will be. You won't have that. No more death, no Satan. No Satan. Because the reason we have all the trouble we have right now is because of the adversary. And I thought about this today. I said, what is it worth to me to have that? I know you read about it, you say, oh, you know, it's kind of fairy tale-ish, you know, is it? What if it's not? My question is, what if it is? What if it is and you did nothing about it? So I'm going to go ahead and do everything I can about it. And if it's not, at least on this life, I did everything I could. I laid it all on the table and did the best I could. But if it is, and I did nothing, shame on me. And so that's the key. I'm reading all these verses about being committed to God. Listen, if you're not committed to God, it's going to be very difficult for you to hear the message. Get committed to Him on a personal level. That's without knowledge of, there's a lot of other stuff I'm telling you. But just the fact that He loved us so much that instead of leaving us in that condition, He made a way out, a way of escape, and that's through Yeshua HaMashiach. Our Messiah came and died for our sins. Blood was shed. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That blood was shed for me. And though my sins are as scarlet, He said, I'll wash you white like snow. That's amazing to me. Because I did that stuff. I did it. Yet He still wants me to hang out with Him. Isn't that something? It's amazing. So the love that God has for us is absolutely incredible. And I want to. My prayer is that you and I can love Him the same way. And all you have to do is you get up every day and say, you know what, I'm going to do the best I can to show God how much I appreciate Him today. Take some time to do that. But that's the goal. See, the hope is that we hope for that day, that wonderful day when He comes back. That's what our hope is. If we lose that hope, we lose everything. We don't have any hope. So that's what we've been teaching in this series on revealing the kingdom of God, because it's been lost in the church. Nobody's talking about the kingdom coming. Everybody talks about heaven. We're going to go to heaven. What are you going to do? If you go, listen, if you go there, what are you going to do? I don't know. But here there's going to be a kingdom with a king, and Yeshua is going to be the king in that kingdom. And where is that? Literally, like literally, where is the kingdom going to be? It's going to be in Jerusalem. Why do you think all this junk goes on when it comes to Israel? You think because, you know, we got this little bitty nation, you know, you could put it, you know, it's shaped sort of, you know, like a, almost like Nepal shape. Got a similar shape of it, but it's small. You got all these big countries around there that got way more people, way more weapons, and it's like, this, here we got this little bitty nation. What is the point? Why is everybody after Israel? If it's no big deal, if none of this is real, who cares? It's a little country. They don't even have, listen, they don't even have oil. You got a country, you got more oil wells than America dreamed to have. And you want that? For what? To go raise your lamb on a hill? Pick some olives? No. You want it because you're walking contrary to God. You're up against God. That's why you want it. You want it because God put His stamp. He said, I'll put my name there. And you're trying to make it where it doesn't exist. That's the whole point in it. Well, that's why I keep my mind, I watch everything going on over there. Everything that's happened in Israel, you keep watching. Well, everything that's happening. Israeli news. If you want some good news, go to Israeli news. And this guy comes on and he gives these little short video segments of the news. I don't even know the guy's name. I got it wrote down, but Israeli news. And I watch. He updates them almost on a weekly basis. He'll update. It's little short stuff. Maybe 15 minutes. He'll give you an update. What's Russia doing? What's Iran? What's Saudi Arabia? They're telling all the stories. And then what he does, he puts it side by side with the Word of God and how it's prophesied they would do these things. And he tells you, okay, this just happened. This just happened. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, you're not going to get that from Fox. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get that from CNN or the rest of them. They don't care about that. What they do to entertain the masses of the people, keep you kind of dumbed down, worrying about who did. When I was growing up, it was who shot JR. Who cares? Now they got you, what the Kardashians are doing. No, who cares about all that? Do you understand? Don't get wrapped up in that. You know what? You no matter if you knew what they did, it ain't going to change who you are. Guess what you got to do every day? You got a daughter, a son, a husband, a wife. You got family, your family. That's what our responsibility, and here we are. What are we going to do? Yeah. While people get so wrapped up. And I told you this. I told you this, what it was just not long ago. I said, the Lord woke me up, and He said, if we don't get past our social addiction, we're going to be in trouble. We won't be ready when He comes. And I came here and I talked about that. I talked about, don't get addicted socially. Well, you think you got to know. Well, and, you know, remember the survey? I told you that was done of 850 students. They did the survey and they said, there's no way. This has got to be fake. Somehow we messed up. So they did another 850 and came out with the same results. And they said, we in trouble. Out of 850 students that they surveyed, they figured out that all of them were disattached to reality and heavily attached socially. And was counting on their friends. And they had so many friends, they didn't have a friend. And they all were full of anxiety and worrying about what to do in life. And every one of them was on some kind of medication to help them with it. So you can be so involved in that social media that you're not involved in real life. Because if you think that everybody that you click friend on is like real friend, you're kidding yourself. Get sick, go to the hospital, and see how many on Facebook come and see you. But you know who's going to show up. Do you understand my point? But that's the trick of the enemy. That's a trick. It's a delusion, and people are falling for it. I'm telling you, they'll get all worked up over somebody took them off or something, and that's, don't get involved in that. There's real things and real issues happen. Let me tell you, part that excites me. This is what excites me, no matter what's going on when I hear this. The dead will rise first, but them which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. To me, that's exciting to me. Because I know where he's going to be. Where's the Lord going to be? Where does the scripture say the Lord's going to be? When we're talking about our Lord or Master Messiah, should use Master there. So shall we ever be with the Master. Where is he going to be? I'm going to tell you where he's going to be. The Bible says that when he comes back, that every eye is going to see him. Not some, every eye. Can you imagine what type of event it would be for every eye to see it? Every eye will see it. And where is he going to come? Where is he going to land? The Mount of Olives, which is in Jerusalem. And when his feet touch it, it's going to split. There's going to be a valley that opens up, and it's going to go right into the eastern gate into Jerusalem. And he's going to take over. There's a song we used to sing years ago. And he's got fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. And he's riding a white horse all across this land. He has fire in his eyes, a sword in his hand, and he's riding a white horse all across this land. And he's saying, calling out, who wants to ride with me? I want to tell him right now, I want to ride. Because he's not coming on no borrowed donkey. Saying to everybody, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. He's coming to clean house. He's going to say, okay, all the junk's over with. All these superpowers and all this. Listen, the King of Kings is here and the Lord of Lords. You come on, get right, or you're going to pay the consequence. Do you understand? Fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. He ain't coming here to hug nobody. I want to be on that side. Yeah. I mean, he's always like to win. Yeah. I like to win too. Yeah. Ain't nobody, if you like to lose, we need to check on you. We don't like losing. Well, you're going to lose if you're not on his side. That's the way it's going to happen. Yeah. You will lose. As much as the enemy thinks he's going to win, the enemy thinks, I got them together. I got them together. This is what the Antichrist is going to do. Because remember, it's the Antichrist. It's a lookalike. Yeah. He's going to say, listen, we're all together. Look at it. We got the temple built. Everybody come. It's one big universal church. It's great. That's all in play right now. That don't have to happen. Somebody said, when that starts to happen, not start, already happened. Uh-huh. Already happened. Muslims, Christians, evangelicals, You go down the list. Hindus, they all, the Jewish rabbis all have come together and met in one place, and they all prayed, all holding hands. There they are. It's all done. There ain't but one event left. And that's when he comes. Hallelujah. And that could be one hour. We participate in the feast days, right? The next feast to come, we're in our break right now. Mm-hmm. The break is not break, don't do anything. The break is start thinking about seriously about the next event, which is Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. Because he talks about a trumpet. He said the trumpet, the last trumpet, is going to sound. And when that trumpet sounds, what happens after that? The dead raise. And we which are alive and remain, the things are going to change. So it's going to be instant. It's going to be amazing. And you can remember. I believe that we're going to remember these times, these services. Hey, I remember that Thursday night. Wasn't a whole lot there. But boy, I'm glad I heard that. Because this is it. I remember it. And here we are. So what a great time. Listen. So look, I get up every day. I do just like you. I'm going to get up tomorrow. We're going to go according to our plans. We pray the presence of the Lord be with us. We're going wherever he wants us to go, being guided by him. You're going to get up. You're going to handle your business. You got stuff. You've obligated yourself to it. I mean, how many's got stuff? You got a house, you're obligated. You got a car, you're obligated. So you're going to go and do all that, and God's all for that. Believe me, he is 100. Go and do that. But in that process, don't get your eye, don't lose sight of him coming. Always think about that. And share the gospel. Share it with somebody. Tell somebody about it. People that you never met before. It's amazing how God worked them details out. And you just say, hey, I've had people come in from a trip and people say, hey, you pray with your customers? Because they'll find out, you know, on the trip that they ask questions. You're talking. We're just talking. I'm not there to preach. I'm the guide. I'm to put you on a fish. That's what I'm there for. But they ask you questions. You tell them. And so it always happens. Hey, you pray with your customers? I do. Would you remember us in prayer? Right now. It's a good way for me to remember. Because I ain't going to tell you I'm going to pray for you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it right now. Right now? So we grab hands on that dock. Mm-hmm. Right in the fish. Right standing in the fish. And pray for them. Mm-hmm. I've seen people call and text back. Lives change. That's the difference God wants us to make. They needed that. Text me. We needed it. Mm-hmm. It was our 10th anniversary. It's a milestone. Neither one has been married over 10 years. We want to make it. Yeah. And God let us come and see you. And I started telling him about how I had my experience with 10. And I told him about how 10's it's a completed cycle. Now you're getting a fresh start. And I just shared all that with him. Mm-hmm. But God, how many know God put that together? Yeah. Be an impact in somebody's life. Be excited about the Lord. If he comes back this year, great. If it's 20 years or 30 years from now, I all I can tell you, it's going to be on a feast day. He's got three more to fulfill. Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Sukkot. The Feast of Booths, Tabernacles. How many ready for all three? He fulfilled the rest, he's going to fulfill them all. So this is an exciting time. It's great. Most people, they talk about this stuff, and they say, well, I might as well cancel everything. Go spend as much money as you put on a credit card. Put everything on a credit card. The Lord's coming back. I won't have to pay the bill. Come on. That's not what this is about. Right? It's not what you do. I mean, it's tempting, right? If we knew that, if we knew exactly, we'd all do it. I mean, get every card you can and go, yo, yo, by driving down brand new cars, boats, everything. Say, hey, don't worry about nothing. He's coming and we gone. Right? If it worked like that, we'd all do it. He knows we would, so he says, I ain't telling you. So anyway, it was great. I'm glad I got to spend some time with you. We have announcements. Let's remember Brother Daniel's father died today. We want to remember them and just keep them in prayer. He was 92 years old. 92. I was thinking about that today. I said, Lord, 92? If I get 92, it'd be amazing. Amen. That's like so many gifts wrapped up in 92, right? But the Lord knows. And so they had a lot of good years, a lot of time with them. And so just keep them in prayer. And just remember the announcements, especially what's coming up for the trip going to Indiana. Don't forget, we're going to we'll be getting with you and getting all the final details on that. Also, remember tour portion on Saturday. Great if you hadn't been getting your tour portions and putting them together. I found out that some people's doing their tour portions on electronically. That's all great. But if electronic go out, you got no tour portion. That's the whole point we did it. Get your copies, make your own book, and it's great. I'm telling you. Because you can't just say, well, I just go on my own. That's fine. It all works now. But what if it doesn't work?
That's it.
We don't know that. I can tell you, if it doesn't work in any point that we can in our lifetime, you're going to look at a world go crazy. Because
yeah.
They are heavily addicted.
Amen.
But just so you know, at least in our generation, we know what it is to not have it. We lived at there was a level of people lived without that technology. It's hard to go back and remember. Can you remember where you didn't have a phone with you?
Yes, amen.
And you had to actually stop at a pay phone and put a nickel in or whatever it was, and you call somebody? I mean, I know that seems like it's ancient times, but it's really not that far off. But that's how it used to be. And then they came out with pages, and everybody had one on their hip, and sounded like a truck backing up every time it went off in a, you know. And people thought, man, we moving up as a pager. Can you imagine? Who would want a pager today? Nobody wants that. But then they had a bag phone, you know. It was about this big old antenna in it. You know, if it made noise, you'd think a spaceship was landing, you know. So, and then it came out with a smartphone, and everything changed.
Yeah.
And everybody got one. And the thing about them is they're so smart, they got everything on them that you need.
Yeah.
And if you ever have a problem, you just put it in, and it solves the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a complete disconnect. Used to be, you'd call, hey, Unc, I was wondering how to do this. And so you'd at least talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you go to somebody's house. Now you just Google. It tells you exactly, and 10 people have done it, got videos for it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a disconnect. We're very connected socially, but we're not connected where we actually go. And let me tell you, you ought to start doing it. You ought to make a point. You say, you know what, we're going to start visiting. We're going to start going to somebody's house. We're going to stop by and say hi. I mean, you do it if you're working because you're meeting people. But there's a disconnect, and that's not good. Because when it all goes down, people are not going to know how to act. But thank God we have His Word. And thank God we're not naive to the realities. And if it wouldn't be for God, we would be. And so I give Him all the praise and the glory. And I tell you, it's an honor. I'm honored every time I get, I don't matter. Listen, as long as I've been doing this, I don't care how many people attending. I'm honored every time God gives me a chance to share. And it means something to me. And I hope that you see that it means something to me, that I want to just give you information so you know what's going on. And you can go out and attack life, and you know what? You can be a winner, and you can do it every time. Don't mean you get everything you want. But when you give it all you got, and you can just lift your head up and give glory to God, that's what matters.